as you remain standing, go to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, and I'm going to ask you to go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Then 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. So three areas this morning. You say, preacher, three areas. We're only going to be really in one, but I wanted you to go and see the others. Matthew chapter 28 is the first area. Then Acts 1:8 is the second. And then 2 Corinthians 4 is where we will spend the bulk of our time. Matthew chapter number 28. Then Acts 1:8. Say, preacher, I only have three fingers. Should have that little string that you can put in there, amen? That can mark one, and then one with your thumb and one with the index finger. Matthew 28. Amen. Matthew 28 is where we're going to start. And I want you to read together with me starting in verse number 18. Matthew 28, we're going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. Here we go. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, we saw last week there the place that the apostles were, the position that they were in worship, the power that was given to the Lord. But then their program was to go and make disciples and baptize people, bringing them into the local church and to teach them as God instructed. And then over in Acts chapter 1, and verse 8, and last week we looked at why we have a missions program. Jesus said to go. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is going to be their purpose. Let's read that. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So we saw their program. Here is their purpose. The purpose was to be a witness. He said, I'm going to give you my spirit. And when you get the spirit, you're going to be a witness. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to be a witness. And now over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. So their program was to go and give out the gospel, see folks baptized, bring them into the church and teach them. Their purpose was to go everywhere with the gospel. Now we see verse 1, 2, and 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read with me. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Sobering words there. If our gospel be hid, we know the program is to go. We know the purpose is to be a witness. But then Paul said, but if our gospel is hid, it's hid to people that need it the most, people that are lost. By the way, you were found because someone did not hide the gospel. They gave it to you. And as a result of that, our mission as a church and our heartbeat should be the heartbeat of God to give the gospel out. You know, it takes finances to get missionaries on the field. Would you not agree, Brother Scott? Do you not agree, Brother Joshua? Amen. It takes finances. And so we saw last week why we have the missions program. Today we're going to talk about why we finance that program. It takes money. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. I pray that your hand may be upon us, Lord, that we may see the truth of, Lord, our missions program will require missions dollars. Someone has got to fund missions. Lord, may we be the ones who have the gospel to give that gospel message out. but not just monetarily, Lord, physically, by our mouths and with our feet, with our hands, going to do the work of the ministry, because it is evidently clear if a gospel is hid, it is hid to those that need it the most, Lord, those that are lost. So God, help us today to, Lord, see why we finance a missions program, and also, Lord, to understand that we are witnesses and our gospel cannot afford to be hid. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Meet our need today, and may you receive all praise, all honor, and all glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. praised. Amen. Think about the love that he has shared and shed for you and I. Amen. And he chooses to call you and I his own. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. And I tell you, I cannot get over the fact that God reached down and saved my soul. February 3rd, 1991, I will never forget the day. Amen. And I trust that you will never forget the day that you came to know Christ as Savior as well, because the gospel was not hid to me. I got saved. And as a result of the gospel not being hit to you, you got saved. Amen. And God is good to us, I tell you. You know, we're looking at why we have a missions program and why we finance a missions program. Then the following weeks coming up, we'll be talking about how we finance a missions program. But it does take money. By the way, the things that you enjoy in your house, it costs you something. Amen. It costs you some money. Amen. And as a result of it costing you money, amen, that means somebody's got to pay for it, amen. To get the gospel around the world, one of the first things it takes is missionaries. Somebody's got to surrender to say, I'll go. But then once those missionaries say, you know what, I'll go, it takes money. Somebody's got to fund them to go around the world. And once the money is there, the missionary is there, the only thing left now is the mobilization. They've got to go and go to where God's called them. Amen. Joshua and his family were over in China. The Scots are over in Mexico. Amen. We found ourselves as missionaries in the great state of Arizona. Amen. Say, preacher, you weren't a missionary. I was sent out of Bethel Baptist Church as a missionary to plant this church. They sponsored me, they funded me, they sent me out to plant this church, and I was known as a missionary pastor until the church was able to take me on for support by itself. Amen. And so missions is what God's heartbeat is all about. Last week we kind of went through Matthew 28 and Acts 1:8 a little bit, and tonight, this morning, I want to go through 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 7 and kind of talk a little bit about your part and my part in missions. By the way, it's going to take the gospel to save people. Men, women, boys, and girls are going to have to give the gospel to other men, women, boys, and girls. That's how people get saved. By the way, you are a vessel. Did you know that? One of the songs we sang about channels only, we talk about a vessel. I'm emptied, Lord, fill me and send me. By the way, the Bible still is clear, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. If you've been saved, the precious gospel has been deposited in you. The Holy Spirit has been deposited in you. And God made you a witness. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration of what we're going to be talking about today. Come here for a second, G2. If you would, think about this jug of water here and these cups. Now, I want you to go down in verse number 7, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says, but we have this treasure, speaking of the gospel, in earthen vessels. They would have clay pots back in those days, or clay jars or clay vases, and they would put their water and wine and things that they would drink in those vessels. And so the Bible says that you and I are earthen vessels. We're like a clay pot. And he says that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. And so what you do with a vessel normally is you, first of all, clean it. How many of y'all want to put your water in a dirty vessel? Amen. You clean it up. When you and I get saved and the power of God comes in our life, God cleans us up internally and then begins to clean us externally. So in other words, internally you get cleaned by the Holy Spirit of God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you, and the Spirit of God then begins to internally cleanse and clean you by here and by here. And then God wants to do something with you. He's got his Spirit in you. He's going to fill you up, and he fills you up for one purpose. Amen. And then Greg, I want you to pour some water in these three cups here. So now, looking at the earthen vessel or the water pot, that would be you. And a vessel, if you look at it, is not manufactured. Let me say it this way. A vessel does not manufacture. In other words, this vessel cannot make anything. How many of y'all have a jar like this and you put it in your refrigerator and it automatically fills up by itself? Amen. So the jug does not manufacture anything. The jug, yeah, we wish, amen. Put it in there and automatically get some Kool-Aid in there, amen. So the vessel does not manufacture. It only contains and it only shares. That's the only thing that this vessel can do. It contains the liquid and it can share the liquid. So God has put in you the Spirit of God, and what he's wanting you to do now is be emptied to fill somebody else. He wants you to give of yourself the gospel to someone else. Why? You've been filled with it. You've got the gospel. And so because you've been filled, you don't manufacture anything. You can only contain. You can only share. And so once you pour out, now somebody else has a chance to receive the gospel. But wait a minute. It doesn't stop there, because last time I checked, the Bible says, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so now once I've given out the gospel, I'm there in Jerusalem, I'm in Judea, and in Samaria. Those are areas close to home. But then he says, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Wait a minute, I can't get to the uttermost parts. How can I get there? I got to be emptied out again to give of my finances. Why? My feet took me to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the outer lying places here, but I've got to still go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's going to cause me to give them my finances. Gregory, fill those up. Again, keeping in mind that the vessel can only contain and share. God is asking that you and I be vessels, empty and available for him to fill and refill over and again. So we already took our feet and we've already taken the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Those are areas there. But now we took our finances and said, you know, I can't go to China like Joshua can go. I can't go to Mexico like the Scots can go, but I know somebody that's going there. And they can take the gospel as I give my finances to China, to Mexico, and to Belgium. Belgium needs the gospel. That's where I got saved at. Or maybe I need to take the gospel to the Philippines. Fill that one up. Leah, you'd love to get the gospel to the Philippines, won't you? By the way, Leah's brother now is being funded and financed to get a church started in her hometown now. Amen. Much giving, much praying. He surrendered and finally he's going, and now he's fully supported to start a church in her hometown to reach Filipinos in her area. You know why? Because somebody said, you know, my feet can only take me but so far, but my finances can go a little bit further. And I can get the gospel not just in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, but I can take it to the uttermost parts of the area. I can go to China. I can go to Belgium. I can go to Mexico. I can even go to the Philippines, because I'm a vessel and I can not manufacture anything on my own, but I can be filled and I can share. By the way, God gives you finances for the kingdom of God's sake. Did you know that? Well, I thought he gave me finances to live off of. He gave it for that reason as well. But he gave it because he wants you and I to get involved in worldwide evangelism. Amen. So why we finance a missions program? Because somebody's got to take the gospel. The lost world doesn't have the gospel. You know who has it? You and I. But you know what Paul said? But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. So let's take the gospel away from Mexico. Let's take the gospel away from China. Let's take the gospel away from the Philippines. I'm sorry, Leah, you can't have a missionary in your home. Josh, I'm sorry, you and your family got to come off the field. Brother Scott, I'm sorry, you got to go back to Utah and stay there for a while. And I'm sorry, Samaria or Oro Valley. I'm sorry, Catalina. I'm sorry, we can't get the gospel to Marana and those areas there because we won't go over there. And, you know, I'm sorry we can't get the gospel next door over there because it's hid and nobody wants to give it out. And it doesn't matter that I've been filled and I have the ability to share. I can't manufacture anything else but the gospel. I don't have anything else to give but the gospel. And so it doesn't matter that my gospel is hid. I guess I'll just take my gospel, this little lot of mine, I'll put it under a bushel. I'll let Satan put it out. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. My question today to you is, are you being a vessel? And are you being a vessel that's being constantly filled to share? And are you being a vessel that's not just sharing the gospel by your feet, are you sharing your finances as well? Because it takes money. Thank you, Gregory. Vessel does not manufacture, it only contains and shares. And God is asking that we be vessels, empty and available. He will fill and refill over and again. And you and I have to be vessels to be filled, to be emptied, and to be refilled and used again. Preacher, I don't have anything to give. Yes, you do. If you're saved, you have the gospel. If you're saved, you've got the gospel. By the way, what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. By the way, it's the gospel that's going to save men, women, boys, and girls. Now, this is going to stay here because I want you to envision this being you. And ask yourself the question, am I a vessel that God can use? Am I a vessel that God can use? Now, I think we would all agree that you wouldn't want to use a dirty vessel. How many of y'all want to drink out of a dirty vessel? Nobody. You wouldn't want to drink out of something that's got a bunch of sediments in the bottom and a bunch of dirt and a bunch of particles. And you wouldn't want to go home and get your garbage can and fill it up with water and then drink out of that garbage can. No more than the Holy Spirit wants to do the same thing. But guess what? The gospel has already come into your soul. And when it comes into your soul is clean, but your life is not. And the gospel then begins to clean up your life. I'm glad I'm not the potty mouth that I used to be. I'm glad I'm not the party person I used to be. Had a potty mouth and I was a party person. And because I had a potty mouth and I was a party person, I was pitiful. I couldn't give out anything out of my vessel that I had called my life. The only thing I can give out was misery, grief, and woe. Paul here coming down here lets us know how you and I can be a clean vessel. Notice chapter number 3. Go back just a little bit. It says in verse number 18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, talking about a mirror, the glory of the Lord. And what happens, Paul? We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, Paul is saying, as you and I take the precious word of God and we look in it, it's like looking in a mirror. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we become more and more like the Jesus Christ the more we look into the Word of God. And the things that don't resemble Christ, he begins to bug us about and warn us about and say, hey, look, you need to change that. You need to change that. You need to change that. People ask me all the time, well, how'd you stop drinking? God. How'd you stop smoking? God. How'd you stop cursing? God. How'd you stop partying? God. How'd you stop all the stuff? God, God, and God. It's not. I am a vessel. I can't manufacture anything in and of myself. Everything that I have, Jesus Christ gave to me. Only thing I had was sin. So you and I cannot manufacture, but we can share. And we can give out. And God changed me from the inside out. Say, preacher, what changed on you first? Well, of course, my soul. But you know what was the second thing? My mind. My mind. The Bible says, having your minds renewed. By the way, you and I have to be renewed in our thinking. We've got the philosophy of the world. We've got to be renewed in our thinking and in our mind. I'll show you several things about this because he says down there, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we're changed
into glory from glory, or we're getting better and better. We should never be getting worse and worse. Hear me now, Christians, we should not be getting worse and worse. We should be getting better and better, more like the Lord Jesus Christ every day, not less like the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You can't do it yourself. You can only do it through the Word of God and letting God change you. Amen. Well, preacher, I like the way I am. But wouldn't you like being like Jesus a whole lot more? Wouldn't you like being acceptable in God's sight? Wouldn't you like being pleasing to the Lord? Wouldn't you like being a vessel that He could use? By the way, what do you want to drink out of? Amen. Then ask yourself, what am I giving to God to fill? How's my life? Notice down in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He begins talking about, because I've got the gospel in me, because I've been a vessel, I've been filled, I've got this ministry, I'm not going to faint, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to give up, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He said, you know what? I lived a dishonest life in the past. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know what Paul's saying there? My daily living changed. My daily living changed. By the way, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, your daily living should change. If you've been with Jesus Christ, your daily living should change. Now, what's the goal? God is wanting to fill you up so that He can empty you out, to fill you up again, to empty you out over and over again, to minister to men, women, boys, and girls around the world by your feet and by your finances. By the way, by what you say is a ministry to others sometimes. So Paul says, my daily living is changed. But then he says something in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How many of y'all have ever lost something in your home? And then that frustrates you when you know it's in your house. And you lost it in your house. I've lost things in my car. You say, preacher, that's smaller than the house. Amen. I've lost things in my car. And it's not like you can stop driving on the highway and reach down and find it. It's gone under the seat somewhere and I've lost it. And I can't find it. And there's nothing more frustrating than knowing you have something and you can't find it. You know you got it. You know it's here. You know it's close by. You know it's got to be here somewhere because I just had it. I'll never forget the time when I lost my cell phone in the house. I called that thing and I called that thing and I could not find it. Then, Brother Scott, I got hungry. Several days later, no. I went into the refrigerator to get something to eat. Guess what I found in the refrigerator? My phone. How in the world did you get in the refrigerator? I heard of cold conversations, amen, but that's taking it to the hilt. Obviously, I had meant to get something and had my hands full and put my phone down just for a moment to get the stuff out and shut the refrigerator. How many of y'all have ever done this? You get something out of the refrigerator, but it's way in the back, and so you take some stuff out and you put it on top of the refrigerator. And then you forget that you put stuff on top of the refrigerator just to come back later on and look for it in the refrigerator and it's not there because it's on top of the refrigerator. And it's hid, even though it's right before your eyes. What Paul is saying, if you and I have the gospel, and if it's hid, it's not going to do us any good. It didn't do my phone any good to be in the refrigerator. None. It frustrated me. How many people are frustrated because life is unfair to them? Life has treated them bad. Life has beat them down. Life has been so bad to them, and their parents abuse them, and people take advantage of them, and it's just bad, and they need help. They need the gospel. But it's hid. In China, it's hid. In Mexico, it's hid. Somebody's got to bring it out. Somebody's got to take it out of their vessel and say, you know what? I know it may be hid to China. I know it may be hid to Mexico. I know it may be hid over in these other areas, but this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm a vessel, and the gospel is not going to be hid. I'll be a vessel. I'll be emptied. I'll be filled. I'll be emptied. I'll be filled. I'll be emptied. I'll be filled. I'll be emptied. But I can't do anything else. I cannot manufacture. I can only share, and I can only contain. I can't do anything else. I can only contain and share that which I am. I want to be filled, to be emptied, to be refilled and used again. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I don't have much, but I can take my feet and share the gospel with someone else. And I don't have much, but I can take $1 or $5 and I can send it into the uttermost parts of the world. See, I don't have much, but I want to be filled and I want to be emptied. I want to be filled and I want to be emptied. And I can take some of my money and I can send it so that the light goes back into China. I don't have much, but I want the light to go back into Belgium. I don't have much, but I want it to go back to the Philippines. I don't have much, but I want to be filled. I can be emptied. Why? I can't manufacture. I can only contain what's given to me, and I can only share what's given to me. Paul says our daily living has got to change. But then I've got to deliberately share the gospel. It's got to be deliberate. Why does it have to be deliberate? Because there's a real devil, verse 4, and whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. I say, preacher, how do they blind them? By humanism and by evolution and by all sorts of other philosophies out there that God doesn't exist or God's not real. There are philosophies that are out there that people are believing and their minds are blinded, even believing that themselves are gods. Or there's another way. Or there's a better way. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But see, if that gospel will be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Let me ask you a question. Are you a vessel that's being filled and emptied? Are people seeing your gospel? Are they seeing you shine for Jesus Christ? You know, Brother Serge, I was just reading Brother Bossi's latest prayer letter about the churches that they're funding this year. And lo and behold, I saw another Shining Light Baptist Church being funded in Georgia. And I thought there was only two, us in North Carolina. But another one just got funded in Georgia. And at first I thought, you can't be Shining Light because we're Shining Light. But you know what? We don't have the market on shining the light. We don't have the market on giving the gospel out. If they will shine their light, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. If they will shine their light, praise God for them. Praise God for another shining light. Praise God, Lord, give us 1,000 more shining lights across America and overseas. Lord, help us to shine the light. Give us more. But wait a minute. It took finances. The letter that I read are churches that got funded. That means finances had to go to this church to get it going. So if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Missionaries can't go and churches can't be started. And the gospel is still hid and people are still in sin. And they're still going to that place called hell. By the way, if the gospel was hid, if somebody did not pour out from themselves into you, then the gospel would be hid to you and you would be still lost. But somebody shared the gospel with you. The least you can do is share with someone else. Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lord, fill me that I can be emptied. Lord, fill me so I can be emptied. Lord, give me more of you so that I can give more of you to them. Lord, give me more finances so I can give more finances to missions. Lord, give me so that I can give them. Lord, give me so that I can give them. Lord, fill me so that I can fuel others. Lord, help me. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And when the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, the devil does not want your children to be around the things of God. Get them whilst they're young is the mentality of Satan. You think about it. Pharaoh tried to do it when Moses was on the scene. Herod tried to do it when Jesus was on the scene. Kill them whilst they're young. If I can kill them whilst they're young, they'll never have a chance to get saved. If I can blind them, if I can bamboozle them, if I can just trick them and hide the gospel, so I'll use their parents to make sure the parents don't get saved. But then the unthinkable happens and they get saved. Then the devil says, you know what? I can't unsave them, but I can sure dope their minds up. I'll get them to believe that marriage is between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman. I'll get them to believe that. I'll get them to believe that abortion is okay. I'll get them to believe that the gay lifestyle is just an alternate lifestyle. I'll get them to believe that, you know, you don't really have to go to church and you don't have to read the Bible and to be a good Christian. You don't have to tithe and you definitely don't have to give to missions. You don't have to give of yourself to missions. You don't have to give your finances. You don't have to give anything. Hide your gospel. You've got to keep it all to yourself. Selfishness is at a premium. So if the devil can't blind them, he'll just bamboozle them and trick them. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. But if you're going to believe, let me do something else then. Notice what Paul says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. And notice what he says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul said, you know what? What's our duty? Our duty is not to preach ourselves. You know what? This church is not about Pastor Dawson. It's not about the deacons or the pastors. Wait a minute. It's not even about the members. It's not about us. No, it's not. See, that's the problem. Too many preachers think they're preeminent. Too many deacons think they're preeminent. Too many members think they're preeminent. We don't preach ourselves. It's not about you. It's not about me. You didn't save me. I didn't save you. I couldn't save you and you couldn't save me. We're in the same boat. We're lost without Jesus Christ. So we preach Christ. Our duty is to preach Christ. Our duty is to be filled with Jesus Christ, to empty Christ out to others, be it by our feet or be it by our finances. Our job is not to preach ourselves. We preach Christ. Why? He is the one who died for your sins and my sins. Why? He was one that was buried. Why? He was one that 3 days later rose again. Why? For your salvation and my salvation. He is preeminent, not us. Paul said our duty is not to preach ourselves. Notice that. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. By the way, I couldn't save anybody if I wanted to. Paul said it didn't stop there. It's not who we're preaching. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. But he said there's something else. We've been purchased. He said, ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. He said, we've been purchased, and so we're servant. We just want to serve. We just want to serve. We just want to serve. By the way, you serve others by your feet, by your finances. That's missions. We serve. We serve. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Now think about this. The Bible says in Jeremiah 79, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you and I think about our hearts, we think our heart's pretty good, don't we? I got the best intentions. I got the best plans. I got the best this. I got the best that. My children are the best. My wife is the best. Now, that's true in my case. I just got the best. My thinking is right. But then we read the Bible and it says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Notice what he says down there. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. He's given us the truth. He delivered something to us. Our duty is to preach Christ, not ourselves. We're servants. But he said, I delivered something into your heart. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the light of Jesus Christ. And it shined in your dark heart and in my heart. And it's shining in there to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, you know what? The light shone in your heart and it delivered something. Thing there. And as a result, I have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know about the one who saved me. By the way, you can know more and more about him every day. Amen. Something was delivered. He says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Something's been delivered to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And notice what he says in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And notice what he says in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this what? This ministry. What is that? We're stewards of the gospel. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But then you come down to verse 7, he said, but we have this treasure. So we have this ministry, and this ministry is gospel, but we have this ministry of the gospel in this treasure, and it's an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. You know, I'm always amazed at how much Paul puts himself down to lift Jesus up. He says, it's not about us. It's not about you. Power's not in us. Again, the vessel cannot manufacture. The vessel can only contain and share. Now, you have to ask the question, God, what have you given me by way of the gospel and the knowledge of God? And how have I shared it with others? And Lord, what have you given me by way of finances? And how have I shared it with others that are taking the gospel around the world? Because I found something that's interesting about a vessel. I don't know, maybe you found the same thing. After it's been emptied, do you know what I can do? I can fill it again. And I don't care how many times I empty it, do you know what I can do? Fill it again. But you know, I cannot fill it if it's not emptied. Figure that one out? I mean, it can get half full, I can fill it back up. It can get three quarters down, I can fill it back up. It can get a quarter down, I can fill it back up. And as much as goes out, I can keep putting more back in. And that's the way missions is. God gives you finances. And he says, you know what? The gospel needs to go around the world. It needs to go to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. You have my command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach to all you can. Reach all you can. Each do all you can. As you empty yourself, I will fill you with the fuel of the word of God, but also with finances. Finances from Almighty God to help you get the gospel around the world. So in other words, God does the job all by himself, giving us what we need. Our job is just to share what we contain. Preacher, missions can't be that simple. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. All of what you have, God gave you. All of what I have, God gave me. You wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. What did Paul say? We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach ourselves. He said, what we do is lift up Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. This treasure that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, I want you to think about that phrase before we close. Of God and not of us. Of God and not of us. It's of God and not of us. Everything that you and I have, God gave us. God wants to use you and I, not just to get the gospel around the world, but he wants you and I to be a vessel that he can fill. And when you empty, he fills again. And when you empty, he fills again with the finances and with your feet with the gospel. It's of God and not of us. Two things I want you to take in your minds. Ask yourself the question, am I spiritually filled with the gospel to be emptied and refilled again? Am I spiritually filled with the gospel to be emptied and refilled again? Second question, am I financially filled with resources to be emptied and refilled again? Am I financially filled with resources to be emptied and refilled again? Because it's a given. You as a vessel cannot manufacture, but you can be filled. And when you're filled, you can share. And when you share, many can be satisfied. And God can refill you again with finances and with fuel of the Word of God to share again and again and again. Say, preacher, why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul said, we have this ministry. We have this treasure. And it's in earthen vessels. But he said in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Folks, as we go forward to our missions conference, and as we look more at what God wants to do, you have to ask yourself, Lord, I know what you did through me last year. Lord, I want to be that vessel that you can fill. I know I can't manufacture anything, but I can contain that which you give me. I can be filled with that which you give me. And then I can give that filling to others. I can give those finances to others. I can give the fuel of the Word of God to others. And I can see you working through me. By the way, souls that get saved in Mexico are to our account. Souls that get saved in the Philippines through our missionary are to our account. Souls that get saved in Belgium are to our account. My soul and my wife's soul is account of Calvary Baptist Church in King, North Carolina. Why? They planted the church in Belgium. The souls that have gotten saved out here are attributed to Bethel Baptist Church out there on East Escalante. Why? They planted the church. We don't preach ourselves. It's not, I didn't do it. It's Christ. We preach not ourselves. Well, preacher, you started the church. I can't do anything without Christ. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can give of my time. I can give of my finances. But the credit for the souls, go back up to Bethel Baptist Church. And guess what? Somebody sent Dr. Nelson to plant that church. Isn't it amazing how churches start churches? Brother Serge had a pleasure of being down in Missouri. Brother Kiefer, they planted that church. And they're about to embark upon getting their own building. But you know what? It's not about the building. It's about the people inside the building that God's going to use as vessels that can contain the fuel of the Word of God that they'll give out to others, and that can contain the finances to give to other missionaries, so the gospel can go around the world. And when it's empty, God fills it back up. God's good like that. But preacher, if I give my finances, then I'll be without. God will make sure. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not giving to missions, you can't claim that. But Scott actually ran somebody out of church with that one time. I said, if you're not giving to missions, you can't claim that verse. They got mad at me and left the church.
Hey, but my God shall supply all your need. And folks, we've got two more missionaries that we want to take on. One, Brother Serge and Katie, knew was actually in the school, Brother Ferrari. He was in their Christian school when they were Christian school teachers up in Chicago. Missionary on the field. And we're going to take him on for support. Brother Scott knew Brother Joshua when he was a little kid. His church in Utah supported them in China. Small world. And his job brought him here today. Small world. God is good in allowing us to see the fruit of our labor. I remember one time we were on the airplane flying from Belgium, coming back to the States, and we met a young gal and got to talking with her, and she looked familiar to us. And as we talked to this gal, we found out that her name was Samika Hill, one of the girls that was in Belgium with us. Her dad actually gave me this Bible. And she sat right next to us. And this is years later. She's grown now. She's in the military now. I remember her when she was about Layla's age or a little younger or older. And we're sitting next to her talking. I said, your dad gave me this Bible, and I showed the signature. I said, I cannot believe that. You know, missions does that. Does that. Brother Jesse and Shireen, they're here today because Brother Kraft told them about a church called Shining Light Baptist Church in Tucson. And a young man that he led to the Lord named Kenneth White and Teresa White go to that church. Go figure. All the way over in Japan. And he sends someone because of someone he met in Spain. Go figure. Go figure. God is just like that. God is good. See, the blessings in getting involved in missions. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Why? We're just a vessel. We can only contain. We can only share. Are you containing? And are you sharing? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're looking around. Just for a moment. Why we have a missions program. Why we finance a missions program. Because people need to hear the gospel. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, you may be here under the sound of my voice right now. And you may be lost. Say, preacher, what do you mean by lost? Meaning that you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You're not born again. And if you died right now, heaven is not your home. And the gospel is to you. Say, preacher, what is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And sir, ma'am, boy, or girl, you must be born again. The Bible is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul said it this way, I deliver unto you first of all that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That, my friend, is the gospel. Jesus loves you and he died for you. If you're here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, God wants to save you. Preacher, what's the danger? There's a real place called hell that you will go to if you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you haven't received and believed the gospel. The good news that Jesus died in your place. He died for you and he died as you. All around this room right now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. How many would be honest enough before God to say, preacher, I know if I died right now, I'm saved. I'm born again. And you'd raise your hand, giving God the glory. If I die right now, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I received him as my Lord and Master. Amen. You may put him down. If you couldn't raise your hand today, then maybe that's you needing to be saved. How many would be honest before God and say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it. But I'm not convinced that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me today? I won't come to you. I won't pick you out, but I do want to pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room, you'd raise your hand now. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You'd raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I'm concerned. Amen. Anyone else? Father, you see the hands that have been raised, and Lord, you see the hearts that are before you. Lord, missions is sobering business because we have to give of ourselves. We have to be emptied to be filled, to be emptied to be filled again. Help us, Lord, to do our part in sharing the gospel with our feet and then sharing the gospel with our finances by allowing missionaries to go around the world. God, help us to know what you want us to do more for the gospel and the kingdom of God's sake. Lord, meet our need today. Fill us as emptied vessels that we may be used by you. Lord, it could be one that surrendering to the mission field today. And I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl. Maybe you're calling some man, some woman, some boy or girl to a foreign field. Maybe to plant a church here in the States. Lord, deal with that man. Deal with that woman. Deal with that boy or girl. Lord, maybe you are calling someone to get baptized. Maybe they need to respond today. Maybe someone needs to join the church today. Maybe they need to respond today. Lord, maybe someone just needs to come and say, I want to be filled so that I can be emptied and filled again. Maybe they need to come. Work in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. As Miss Natasha plays, why don't you let God speak to your heart today? Maybe you'd say, I need to be filled so that I can be emptied. My feet need to get the gospel out a little bit better. My finances need to go to the mission field a little more. I need to be emptied so I can be filled again. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Maybe you'd say, I need to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God to challenge people more about their salvation. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, Paul said, if we have received mercy, we faint not. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. How about it today? Would you do what God has laid upon your heart? Maybe you need to come forward and be saved. Would you come? Maybe you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, to be born again. Would you come? I've never been saved, preacher. I've never been born again. If I died, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Maybe you'd say, I need to be baptized. You've never come forward to submit yourself to baptism. And maybe you need to come this morning. Would you come? In your heart, your mind, you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again, but I've never been baptized. I've been scripturally immersed. Would you come? Yes, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Would you come? Maybe you would say, I've been saved and I've been scripturally baptized and I need to join a good, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. Maybe you need to come. Would you come? To be saved, to be baptized, maybe to join this church, would you come? Maybe you say today, preacher, I need to be filled so that I can be emptied. Filled and fueled with the Word of God. Filled with finances to give to the kingdom of God that missionaries can go around the world because we have a command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. I want to be a part of giving my finances. Giving my feet to witness. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The gospel is yours to give. The gospel is yours to share. Finances are yours to give. The finances are yours to share. The vessel, again, can't manufacture, can only contain and share. What will you give? Missions conference is just around the corner. Would you pray? Lord, at this missions conference, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do for souls of men, women, boys, and girls? Lord, what do you want to do through me today? Who can I tell? Pack the Pew is coming. Maybe you can tell someone this week. Hey, come out and pack a pew. Come out and hear the gospel. What is God laying upon your heart to do? Finances are necessary for missionaries. Our feet are necessary to give the gospel. What will be your part? Father, thank you for using us as earthen vessels. Lord, the excellency is not of us, but it's of you. Lord, thank you that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus. Lord, thank you as a result we have missionaries that our finances are keeping in Mexico. Missionaries that our finances are keeping in China. Missionaries that our finances are keeping in the Philippines. Missionaries that our finances are keeping in Japan. Missionaries that our finances are keeping all around the world. And Lord, thank you that we can be a church that's mission-hearted. And we can continue to see you work in us. Therefore, Lord, seeing we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not. God, help us in our weak times. Help us in those times when we don't think we have anything to give. Lord, empty us that we may be filled again. Help us to be fueled that we may be emptied again to fuel someone with the word of God. And to give someone the finances to get around the world with the gospel. Well, the Ferrari family in Argentina is one that we endeavor to take on. Mitchell is another one that we endeavor to take on here in Anthem, Arizona. And Lord, as we pray about giving, help our finances to go take the gospel around the world. And help our feet to take the gospel here in our Jerusalem, our Judea, and Lord, Samaria, those areas where people just don't want to go. Help us to go. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't hide the gospel when it came to us. And help us not to hide the gospel when it comes to others. And help us to be a witness in Jesus' name. Pastor Wyatt, would you...